1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment, and we pray a blessing on it, Lord, time together, whether it's in person or online, Lord, I pray a blessing on every family. And Lord, I ask that you be with us in this moment. Our hearts and our minds are open to your spirit, what you want your spirit to say to us, Lord. And may your spirit transform in us into your likeness. Lord, watch over us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Last week I mentioned rather briefly about that period between waiting and expecting. Waiting and expecting, I talked about the arrival of Annalee into the world. And as I said, 10 years later, it would be Isaac. But how our perceived expectation of what we thought it would be like to be parents was actually met with the actual expectation of what it actually meant to be parents. And it wasn't quite what we expected. We had to realize the things that our expectations had to meet the actual expectations of what was happening. But it ended up being good. It was a new beginning that we needed. It was a new beginning that we're still living. And this week, as we look at this text in 1 Thessalonians, and it seems like a weird text when we think about kind of the season that we're in, but this week I want us to think about this space that the apostle is talking about for the Thessalonica church and for us. The space of in between, the space of waiting and between the space of waiting and expecting. And you probably know that time. It's that in-between time that we are frantically preparing for the arrival of someone or something, where we're going through all of these emotions as we're preparing everything, and we just can't wait, and so we're anticipating, and we're getting ready, and we do the best we can to get ready, and it's almost a nervous tension as we have this anticipation of who will be coming or what will be coming. And that's where we find ourselves today in this moment. That we find ourselves in this time between expectation and waiting. It's the time in which preparation, but also living takes place. It's that space in which we have to figure out how to live, where we're always in this kind of emotional turmoil of, is this the day? Is this the day it's going to happen? Is this the day the person's going to arrive? Is this the day that thing is going to arrive? And then it turns out to be just another day. And so the question is, how do we live in those days? How do we live in those days in between waiting and expectation? And this is the question that the Thessalonians are asking to Paul, and it's probably a question that we've all asked at some point in our time. How do we live as we wait? How do we live as we anticipate this coming of Jesus, this, for us now, the return of Jesus? And Paul's answer to the Thessalonians, Paul's thing that he tells them and what he tells us today is this: it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to live in this in-between time. And this is something that Paul talks about, not just in Thessalonians, but in his other books, in his other letters as well. This is something that he continually expounds upon. But he says it's going to take courage. It's going to take a form of courageous joy in order to get through this time. Because the passage that we read today in 1 Thessalonians is one of Paul's earliest letters. In fact, it is probably Paul's first letter. You have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then you have Galatians. If you look at kind of earliest letters, Paul probably wrote this around 50 AD, 50 to 52 AD. And if we think about that, 50 to 52 AD, this community in Thessalonica is rather early in the birth of Christianity. It's only about 20 years removed from Jesus. I mean, this community in Thessalonica is an early kind of community as it's being formed. And we can see more about Thessalonians and the Thessalonians and Paul being in Thessalonica if we read Acts 17. And in Acts 17, it tells us this in verse 6, a little like snippet of what's going on. When they could not find them, them being Paul and his companions, when they couldn't find them, they dragged Jason and some authorities and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also." This is what's going on in Thessalonica. We see this. Their people are being dragged out in front of the authorities for what they believe. And so Paul, speaking to them, is speaking to them about what courage looks like for a people who are suffering, for a people who are being abused. He's trying to say it will take courage. And for us today, what does it look like for us to live in this time? What does it look like for us to live in this period that we're in, especially when it feels a lot more like this than anything else? Anybody see this picture? It feels a lot more like oi than it does joy for 2020, does it not? Like, we can relate to that. When I saw that picture this week, I was like, yeah, that pretty much sums up where we're at, right? And how do we live in a time in which that sums up where we're at in this moment? And Paul again says, it's going to take courage. It's going to take a type of joy, a type of thanksgiving, and a type of prayer to get you through this. I mean, the Thessalonians are wondering, they're questioning what life looks like as they wait for Jesus' return, and they're only 20 years removed. And they're trying to ask in this letter, Paul, what does it look like? When is Jesus going to come back? They're asking how long in 20 years later. We're asking how long after 2,000 years. And they're asking, how do we get through this? The questions they have, what does life look like? The questions we have, how long are we going to have to deal with this? And so we come to Advent. We come to the season of waiting and expecting. And we come to this moment in Advent, and we too wonder, as we prepare for the coming of the child, but also in our time, prepare for the coming of the Messiah again, we too ask questions. How much longer do we have to deal with the things that we deal with? How much longer do we have to handle the things we have to handle? The same tension that the Thessalonians felt only 20 years removed from Jesus is the same tension that we feel today. How do we live through this? And Advent comes at the end of what for most of us would be a trying year. A year in which many of us have probably struggled to find any joy. Many of us in here, as we finish out this year, kind of look around and say, you want to talk about joy? Where's joy going to come from? All I've been doing is fill in the blank. I mean, you might have joy, but you know how hard it is for me to have joy? I only have 1 in 7 good days. People, we may be feeling that way. And so Paul steps in. Paul steps into the tension for the Thessalonians, and he steps into the tension for us. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, this. Paul's stepping into it. He's wading into it. And he says, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not have anything written to you. This is early on, and Paul says, I'm going to wade into it. I want to help you out here. I want to help you move forward. Because here's the thing. Paul knows it's going to take courage to move forward. It's going to take courage to continue to take one step in front of the other after you've been waiting and hoping and thinking, today is the day, today is the day, today is the day. And you know, every time you think that, today is the day, today, it gets old rather quickly. It gets tiring rather quickly. And Paul says, you don't have much written, but I'm going to write to you. And I'm going to give you the answer. Courage. Courage to move forward. Courage to live as Jesus called you to live in the midst of how you're waiting. And I like how Lee Bowman says it. He says it this way. He, Paul, encourages the Thessalonians to engage the tension between living in the present and looking forward to their apocalyptic hope. Paul is going to encourage them to take a step forward and then take another step forward. What you're going to notice is Paul is calling us to an active life, not a passive life. Paul calls on the Thessalonians to hold on to and live into the life of joy and thanksgiving that is there. This isn't Paul talking about a joy that's in the moment, you know, the joy that is fleeting, the joy that comes in a Christmas present that you unwrap, because generally if we do that, we unwrap one and that joy lasts about 5 seconds, because what are we looking for? We're looking forward to the next box, and we're looking forward to the next box, and we're looking forward to the next box. Paul's not speaking of that joy. Paul's not speaking of a joy that's wrapped in some kind of fleeting moment. No, what we see is Paul is speaking of a joy that's wrapped in a hope of the one who came and a hope of the one who will come. Paul is speaking of a joy that looks beyond just the here and now. And in fact, we probably notice this as we read verses 16 through 18 and the words that Paul uses, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Did you notice those adverbs that are used by Paul? Always, without, all. For Paul, joy and thanksgiving are something that is a part of all of life. And that's the hard thing for a lot of us to realize, because joy and thanksgiving are really easy when everything is going good. Have you noticed that? When everything is going good, when life is on the right, when you made the team, when you got the promotion, when whatever happened, you got the gift you wanted, it is really easy for joy and thanksgiving to overflow, for us to be a people of joy and thanksgiving. And yet, Paul's not talking about just those moments. When Paul says, rejoice always, think about what that word always means. When Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, think about the all of your circumstances. In the midst of everything that goes on, in the good and the bad, Paul says, rejoice and give thanks. And that, my friends, takes courage to be able to do. That takes a life that is rooted in something deeper than just the trivialities of life. It takes a life that's rooted in something deeper than just the shallowness of a gift. No, what Paul is saying is this is wrapped in a hope, as we will see, in the one who has come and who will come. And I agree, this is difficult. There's nothing easy about what I'm saying right now. There's nothing easy about saying, okay, Russell, that sounds great. I know Paul says we should rejoice always. That sounds wonderful. I know that Paul says we should have thanksgiving in all things, but Paul didn't have to go through what I'm going through right now. Paul didn't have to deal with what I'm having to deal with right now. But notice what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say this is going to come overnight. Paul doesn't say, this should happen tomorrow. Paul doesn't say, no, I'm expecting you now after I write this to act this way. No, what Paul is saying is, this is going to be a lifetime of learning how to get to this moment. Even today, I will say that none of us are at a moment in which we can probably rejoice in everything or give thanksgiving in all circumstances. We still struggle with it. If we think back to this week, how many times did you not find yourself joyful of a certain circumstance? How many times did you find yourself not thankful for a certain circumstance or understanding why something was going on in your life? But as we come into Advent, as we come into this season of preparing for the coming of Jesus' birth, Advent is reminding us what I think Paul is trying to remind us as well, that God is in this thing for the long game. That God doesn't play the short game. God plays the long game. In Advent for us, Advent, every year that it comes, these 4 weeks as we prepare, is kind of for us a taste, a reminder of God's long game. As we think about how the people of God waited, how creation waited from Adam and Eve until the moment we read in Luke 2 and Matthew 1, the birth narrative of Jesus, the long game that God played to get to this. But yet, what do we read between Adam and the coming of Jesus? What do we read in those books? What do we read in the Old Testament? What do we read into the New Testament? We read that God still works, God still playing out, God still active in all things, in all of life. Even so that you can have David in his moments of heart, in his moments of heartache, in his moments of hardship, still able to praise God in those moments. Why? Because for some reason, David saw the long game, that God was doing something. And even in the hard moments, David say, I rejoice in the Lord. And Paul in this moment is talking to us and coming at us and saying, what I want to give you here is a perspective of longevity, is to realize that God is in the long game. And that God's Spirit is working out itself out in your life, in the good, and even in the difficult. And that God, who is the God who came and will come, is not going anywhere. And that God is working in the Spirit for us to hear, for us to participate, for us to be a part of everything going on. And so Paul is saying this is going to take courage over timidity. That we are no longer, get this, a people of dread who live our days in a constant state of fear for when the Lord's arrival will be. We're not afraid of when God's going to come. And in fact, we live as if God is going to come each and every day. So there's no dread of when God will come. There's an anticipation of when God will come. There's a life that is lived in preparation for God to come. We don't live some nonchalant lifestyle where we do what we want to do, believing that our happiness is bound to some form of whimsical blessing of things and stuff, as if the only way God can be happy is being that mythical Santa who always gives you stuff, as if that's how God works. We don't live in that way as well. And in fact, we don't live this way. We are not people who insulate ourselves. We're not people who stay away from society because we're fearful of the people who we may encounter or talk to. We don't live in that. All of this, Paul is trying to say, to rejoice always, to give thankful in all circumstances, to pray without ceasing, is a people who live with courage into the world, a life that says, we are who we are, God is working in this world, and we want to be a part of it. And Advent, what Advent does is it allows us to look back at our life. What's been going on this year? It allows us to look back and look at it and be honest and say, have I been living the way that God has been wanting me to live? And then Advent lets us look forward to, how can I live in a way in which God wants me to live? And the hard part about that is Paul says, if you want to live that way, it's going to take the courage of you being who God has called you to be. It's going to mean for you to have the courage to take every step in God's life and in the life that is ahead of you with joy and with thanksgiving in all things. I'm reading this book right now. It's a book by Jonathan Sacks. He's a rabbi. He passed away in November of in England, but he's a rabbi in England. And Jonathan Sacks speaks about this idea of living in courage, this idea of what it looks like for us as the people of God to live in a world that is fractured, to live in a world that doesn't make any sense, to live in a world in which we really would like God's return to happen tomorrow. And so he writes about this, and in his quote, he says this, and it's become more and more one of my favorite quotes. He says this, he says, optimism. And, you know, we all have people in our life who are optimistic. We have people in our life who are pessimistic. I tend to trend towards the pessimistic. Some of you may be optimistic. But he says this. He says, optimism is the belief that things are going to get better. Hope is the belief that we can make things better. Optimism is the path of virtue. Hope is an active one. It takes no courage to be an optimist, but it does need courage to hope. And I like that for what he says there. It takes courage for us to hope. It takes courage for us to rejoice in everything. It takes courage for us to even be able to be thankful in all circumstances. And what is that? That is an active thing that we're doing. It's active. It's moving forward. The people of God are not called to just sit passively by waiting, but instead we're called to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, and not just to do that passively, but to live into that in every moment. And this is the thing, and it says here in this, it says, this is the will of God, is what Paul says. This is the will of God for your life. And here's the thing. In the midst of all this, the Spirit will continue to work. So he says, don't quench the Spirit. The words of the prophets will still be working in your life. So be listening for those things around you. And in the end, in all of this, it is a life of courageous hope, of courageous joy, of courageous thanksgiving that we are all called to live. The hope that God is God, who is the one who keeps promises, who is the one who promises to creation that God will come back. It's a courageous joy, is a life that will be able to be lived open to everyone, to neighbors, to friends, to family, to all of that. And because of this, we can live as a people waiting. We can live as a people expecting, and we can live as a people anticipating, knowing that each day could be the day, that each day could be the one in which God comes back. And so as we close, why do we carry joy around in us? Why do we carry joy and thanksgiving around in us today and in this day? Why are we a people who can take every step forward in the midst of the good, in the bad, in the midst of the chaos and in the mundane? How can we be a people who can live this way with courage? And Paul finishes it with this. And it's if the Thessalonians needed it, and we need it today as well, as they're trying to figure out why. And Paul says, it's going to take joy and it's going to take thanksgiving. It's going to take realizing that God is working. And Paul says, you want to know how you're going to do it? Paul says this. He says in verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. So you want to know how you take one more step forward today? Realize that God is faithful, and he will do this. That it is God who is faithful to you. There's nothing you have to do. It's everything God is doing for you. You, in you, through you. And if that doesn't make you thankful, if that doesn't make you joyful today, then we need to talk. But in the end of it, as you may struggle and say, this is hard, Paul says, I know, but the one who's faithful, the one who called you, has not bailed on you. He has come, and he will come again. So live your life in that moment. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.